1 Kings 16 and Judges 17. Now, we're going to continue our series in Satan's strategy. And last week, we began talking about the issue of Satan's religion. So we've moved through, we've identified who Satan is, we've identified his characteristics. And now what we're starting to get into, we've identified how Satan had fought against God physically, against the promised seed line, how he had fought by trying to prevent God's people from taking the promised land. And what we started looking at last week was Satan's spiritual attack, how Satan operates spiritually. And just as a primer, the basis for which Satan operates spiritually and everything we're going to talk about this morning basically can be summed up in the point that Satan tries to get you to move off of the truth. Satan has a lie program, and by definition, the lie does what? The lie is in opposition to truth. And so there's the, how is it that Satan brings about a lie? How is it that Satan tries to get you to move off of the truth? Well, what we're seeing, what we began looking at last week, is how that Israel replaced the true God with religion, with Satan's religion. Israel replaced the true God and with Satan's religion, and man has replaced God with Satan ever since. And, you know, the subtlety issue there is that we're not talking about we've replaced him with pictures of an ox that's, you know, painted red with a pitchfork and a tail in our homes and things of that nature. But Satan has got us to move off of the truth of Christ, our completeness in him, the simplicity of the gospel, and has gotten us to move off into our works, our own self-righteousness. But what we see back in Israel's day is the beginning of that outworking. So 1 Kings chapter number 16, and begin reading with me in verse number 30. We read this passage last week, but it's the context for us moving forward, so I want to get reacquainted with it. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse number 30. It says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the opportunity again to study your word together. We're thankful most of all, Lord, for the spiritual blessings that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that as we study these things, which may be the details in your scripture and some deeper matters, that ultimately, Lord, it strengthens our faith in you, the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, and hopefully it strengthens our resolve to stay committed to it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, one of the things I want to draw your attention to there is that Ahab took a wife, and Ahab's wife name was Jezebel. And Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, and I want you to notice where he came from. Where Jezebel came from is from her father is the king of the Zidonians. And this is where the Baal worship gets imported into Israel from. And basically what we're doing is we're equating the worship of Baal with Satan's worship, how he wants to be like the Most High God. And this is where Satan's religion originates from. The system starts in Genesis chapter number 11 at the Tower of Babel. And the worship goes on in that region of the world. And then it spreads and it's imported into Israel. And we can find the Satan's religion woven throughout the pages of Scripture as it starts back in Genesis and goes all the way forward into Revelation. Now, I asked you to get Judges 17. So with that background of where Jezebel comes from, Ahab being the king who did evil in the sight of the Lord, you know she's coming from the Zidonians. We covered a couple of high points last week. Do you remember we covered what the characteristics of Satan's religion? how that Satan's religion worships images. Over in Judges chapter number 17, look at verse number 3, where it talks about them taking the silver and they made a graven image. They start worshiping an image. Now, if you want to get people off of worshiping God, what do? You put something in the place of God. Now, we can talk, we can go through the Bible and see the examples of that. Man may put a graven image in the place of God. You know, back when they come up out of Egypt, what is it that Aaron makes? The golden calf, right? We talked about how Satan is an ox, and what is it that Israel starts worshiping from the very beginning? The image of the ox. And so they're worshiping an image. They're putting something in God's place. You know, people today, they just skip the image and they just go straight to putting themselves in God's place, right? And they start worshiping themselves. So, you know, we could get into the degradation of man and the different outworkings of this. The main point I want you to see is that the false religion and Satan's religion, they worship images. Satan's religion has priests. You remember over in verse number 5 last week, we kind of went through Judges 17 last week on a high level, and I'm just reminding you of the context as we pick back up. In verse number 5, Micah, who creates these gods, these images, and has a house of gods, Micah consecrates his son and says that he became his priest. Now in Israel, who was the priestly tribe? It was the tribe of the Levites, right? So in Israel, the priests were to be limited to the Levites. This man makes his own son his priest. So he's got a religion here where he's worshiping images and he has a priest. It also talks about how his priests wear long robes and the ephods that he has. Satan's religion, then they talk about calling him down in verse number 10. When this Levite comes along, he brushes his son aside who he has consecrated to be his priest. When this Levite comes walking around who's wandering, and Micah tells this Levite, come into my house of gods and be unto me a priest and a father. So not only does he have a father and a priest. And when Micah says that, he's not talking about a father in the sense of give me fatherly advice. He's calling his priest father. Christ says, call no man your father. We talked about that last week. So we have images, priests wearing long robes with being called father. And I wanted to pick back up in verse number 13 of Judges 17. Verse number 13. It says, then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. We left off there last week. We were talking about how people in this world who replace God with religion think that they're good on the basis of their works or the performance or things like that. There are religions in this world who will tell you that you're good as long as you go to your priest, as long as your priest comes and gives you your last rites, whatever it may be. And what he's saying here is the same thought process. Mike is saying, I know that I'm going to be good now that I have my priest. How is it? Think about that in contrast to what Job said. How shall a man be right before God? And of course, we know that the only way that a man can be right before God, have a right standing, have righteousness, is by Christ's righteousness being imputed to our account. It has nothing to do with whether or not you have a priest that you go to, whether or not you go and confess your sins to a priest and ask your priest, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Because the man has no ability to forgive you of your sins. Only Christ does. So this man thinks, on the basis of having a priest, that he's going to be accepted. The spiritual state then that they find themselves is in believing in a priest, not believing the gospel. So therefore, we find today the religions not stressing the gospel, do they? As much as they do the things of their religion and your performance. Now, chapter number 18 of Judges is where I want to pick up. I asked you to pay attention when we were in Kings, and we saw that Jezebel and her father, the king Ethbaal of the Zidonians, where they came from. I want you to notice that Satan's religion is in Sidon, it's in Tyre, it's in Phoenicia, and it infiltrates into the tribe of Dan. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes looking at here. And through Dan, it actually goes to the rest of the, through that region, it goes to the rest of the world. Now, Judges chapter 18, look at verse number 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. So now we have the tribe of Dan who comes along, and Judges 18, the whole chapter, is about the tribe of Dan taking the idolatrous religion from Micah and making it their own and bringing it into their whole tribe. And this is how the idolatrous religion infiltrates into the nation through Ahab, through the tribe of Dan. Look at verse number 2. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Ethtal, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, said to the house of Micah, they lodged there. So this is how we find these men from Dan. They're traveling and they lodge in the house of Micah. So this is the Micah that has the house of gods. And they say in verse number 3, when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. And I'm thinking to myself here, this man is not serving the Lord. He's serving a house of gods. He's serving images. And so what is it that he tells these people? He tells these people what they want to hear, right? Go thy way, for the Lord is before you. You know, they dress their religion up in godly terms, as they do today, as they dress it up in Christian terms. Verse number 7, and then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. Where are they? They're in Laish, which is in Zidonia. And I'm hoping that you're drawing this geography together. And we're talking about Zidon, where Satan's religion is, where the worship of Baal comes from. Notice, let's keep reading. Quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. So they're coming to Laish, where Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, is, where Jezebel comes from, and where this worship of Baal is. Look down at verse number 16. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate, and the 5 men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. So what we're reading here in Judges 18, verse 16 and 17, is that the same men that lodged with Micah and saw the graven images and were worse, the false gods, they come back and now they're taking the images. They're taking the ephod. They're taking the robes. They're taking all of this. It says, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with the weapons of war, verse 18, and these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? So he's standing up and saying, what do you guys think you're doing taking this stuff? And notice the response from the tribe of Dan. And they said unto him, hold thy peace. Don't talk to us like that. These are men of war, it says. These are strong men. They've got weapons. And they said, hold thy peace. Lay thine hand upon thy mouth and go with us. And be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Now, excuse me for making a very basic point here, But this Levite ministering unto Micah in a house of gods was against God. Does that, are we clear on that? The tribe of Levite was offering in a specific, was working in a specific way that God had instructed them to minister in the temple and the offerings and the things that they were supposed to do. This Levite went out and they began their own religion, worshiping false gods. Now, with Dan doing this, get Genesis chapter 49. We're going to come back to Judges. We're going to come back to Judges, but get Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. I want you to notice something here about Dan and the infiltration of this false religion through Dan. Genesis chapter 49, look at verse number 16. Genesis 49, 16. You have here in Genesis chapter 49 where Jacob calls his sons together to him. Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, his 12 sons, and they come in and he starts talking and he starts prophesying about his 12 sons, and he gets down to Dan, this one that's importing this false religion here, and notice what Jacob says about Dan. He says, Dan, in Genesis 49, verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a, what does it say? Serpent. Who's a serpent? Satan. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels. What is it that God prophesied about the serpent? That he would bruise the woman's seed's heel, and the seed of the woman would bruise his head. Here we have Dan being told he's a serpent, and he's going to bite the heels. So we have this comparison here. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 33. I ask you to get Deuteronomy as well. I went to Exodus 33. I want Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33, look at verse number 22. Deuteronomy 33, 22. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from where? Bashan. Now, if you've been with us in our study on Satan's strategy, that name Bashan should be familiar. What did Christ say when he was on the cross? Back in Psalms, there's the prophetic statement that they have encompassed him about many bulls of Bashan. What is a bull? A bull is an ox. An ox is a cherub, the cherub being Satan. So there's this, Dan, he shall leap from Bashan. What's Dan doing in Bashan? What comes from Bashan? The bulls, the ox, Satan. So we don't have a good prophecy here on Dan. Look back at Judges 18. I said we'd come back to it. Judges chapter 18. And let's look and see what Dan does here. So they take this priest and they say, wouldn't it be better for you, rather than to just minister to one man in his house, wouldn't it be better for you to minister to a whole tribe? Come, bring your graven images, bring your robes, be unto us a father and a priest. And it says in verse number 20 of Judges 18, and the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. That priest said, that Levite said, you know what? You're right. That's a pretty good deal. I'm going to leave this household behind. I'll come be a priest to the whole tribe. He says in verse number 28, and there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. Where was Baal worship coming from? Laish, Zidon. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, and the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he had all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So they have that city of Laish. Back in verse number 7, it tells you that Laish was in Zidon. What came from Zidon? The full-fledged Baal worship. Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. His name means with Baal. And he expanded his kingdom. Ethbaal expanded his kingdom to include Zidon and Tyre and all of Phoenicia. Perhaps you're familiar with the Phoenicia and the Phoenicians, the famous sailors. Dan is in the north. Nine times in your Bible you hear the phrase from Dan to Beersheba, and it's from like the north to the south. Dan is up in the north, where Tyre, Sidon, and Phoenicia are, where this is happening. And so the Sidonians are there on the coast where Tyre and Sidon is. And why are we going through all this? We're identifying Satan's religion. We're identifying where they move God off of his place and Satan comes in and brings in a false religion. And what is Satan called in Ezekiel? The prince of Tyre. Tyre, Sidon, Phoenicia. Why is Satan the prince of Tyre? Did we just randomly pick that out? I mean, why is he not the prince of Iran or Saudi Arabia? He's the prince of Tyre, because that's where his operation was in play at. Now, that tribe of Dan was in apostasy with priests called father and graven images by Zidon on the coast of Phoenicia. By the way, what do we get from Phoenicia? Our alphabet. The first men that settled Rome, England, France, and Spain were who? Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians were in total apostasy with priests called fathers and images as an aid to worship. So Satan's church is not founded in the New Testament. Paul comes along and he's talking about preaching the gospel of the grace of God and how the ministers of Satan are coming along and they're preaching righteousness. That was not the beginning of Satan's lie program. Satan was operating and countering God from all the way back at the very beginning. And so it's not some Johnny-come-lately plan that Satan has. Before Christ shows up, there is a full-time church in operation that is going out into Rome, Greece, Spain, Italy, England, and France that has robed priests called fathers. 1,400 years before the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus Christ gave the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul, there was a Catholic church on this earth. Catholic means universal, right? And so there was a universal church on this earth whose head was the God of this world, who was worshiping images. They were being sent out into Rome, Spain, the rest of Europe, and from Spain was spread to South America, and the tribe of Dan brought that and integrated it into Israel. Sometimes it gives one pause to think if Satan's ministers have not been more successful than we ambassadors of Christ. Does it not? I want to show you a few more details. Get 1 Kings chapter number 18. So what we're going to leave behind now is obviously to go through and trace this, we would need more time. I wanted to show you where it came from. I wanted to show you understand why Satan is called the Prince of Tyre in Ezekiel. I wanted to show you a religion that comes along and replaces God and where it comes from. It comes from, it's talked about as Bashan. It comes in through Dan. It's in Tyre and Zidon where Jezebel comes from, where the Baal worship enters into Israel and becomes Israel's sponsored religion as the northern tribes forget God and completely replace him. It's not random. One of the other things I'm trying to show is that as you read your Old Testament, when you go through and you see Israel's program in operation, and you see them worshiping false gods, when you see them worshiping images, when you hear about the Baal worship, this is Satan's strategy at play. 1 Kings chapter number 18. So we know where it comes from. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Ahab marries Jezebel. And as the daughter of Ethbaal, Baal worshiper, who does Jezebel worship? The true and living God or Baal? Baal. And what does Ahab do? Ahab builds Baal buildings and an altar and images and groves. And Jezebel goes about to wipe out the prophets of God, to wipe out those who are loyal to the true and living God, and replacing them with prophets of Baal. So when you read about Jezebel in the scripture, what do you read about? The prophets of Baal. So she replaces the prophets of God with prophets of Baal wearing long robes. 1 Kings chapter number 18, look at verse number 21. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" And why is Elijah saying this? He's saying this because what Israel had done is you have the true and living God, and now you've imported Baal worship, and now you have Israel, who some of them are worshiping the true God, some of them are worshiping Baal, and they're mixed, and it's going back and forth. And Elijah says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Either serve the true God or serve Baal." He says, "If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves." What's that bull? There's the ox. You know, just the imagery coming up here again. "Choose you one bull for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many." Look down at verse number 26. "And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. What is it that Satan's religion believes in doing? They believe in penance. They believe in penance. They believe under Israel's religion, you know, you offered a sacrifice. That was a substitutionary sacrifice. Under Satan's religion, here they are, they're doing penance. Penance is a self-punishment that you do to yourself as an outward expression for having done wrong. They're trying to get Baal to respond to them, so they start cutting themselves after their manner. What do? When they want to get a response from God, they start punishing themselves. They start cutting themselves. Under grace, your standing before God is completely based upon God's mercy. What you do in your flesh does not change your standing with God. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. If it was of works, then Christ would have died in vain. You sitting there cutting yourself, gushing out your own blood to try to get God's attention, That's anti-God. That's against the way that God works. It's not of self-punishment. Do you know of any group of people or any religion in the past that would take things and beat themselves to try to gain a better standing before God? Have you ever heard of the people who would take the whips and they would walk and they would whip themselves as they walked, trying to beat their flesh and torture themselves as a way to get a better standing before God? What religion do you think that comes from? The Catholics do that. Get Jeremiah chapter number 44. So my point being is Satan's religion believes in penance, that you can punish yourself as a way to get acceptance. You know who was punished to get your acceptance? God Himself took upon the form of flesh and was punished to give you acceptance. You could do whatever you wanted to yourself and to your flesh. It would not gain you one iota of acceptance with God. The Father is only pleased with the work of His Son. Moving on, Jeremiah chapter number 44. Jeremiah chapter number 44. You know, Satan's lie is to tell people that this book is just a bunch of rules given by a deity who wants to be a killjoy. You know that? This world says, oh, that book, you know, it's just a bunch of rules. It's just a bunch of commandments. It's just, you know, they just don't want you to have any fun. You know, that's what a stark contrast to the truth. This book tells you how to have joy, how to have abundant joy, how to have eternal life, but also so much more. It warns us of the lie of the world system. It forewarns you of Baal worship and the outworking of an idolatrous system that you are in the midst of today. Different name, different guys, same system. Jeremiah chapter number 44, I want you to see something else about Satan's religion. Jeremiah 44, verse number 15. Jeremiah 44, 15, there's some people being upbraided here for doing some things that are wrong and having women, having wives that are worshiping idols. Jeremiah 44, verse 15, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods. What do we have here? We're worshiping other gods, idol worship, idolatry, Satan's plan. And all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all of the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, we're in verse number 16 now, Jeremiah answered them, saying, Jeremiah was the one saying these things unto them, and when Jeremiah had said these, notice what they responded. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. They knew that what Jeremiah said was in the name of the Lord. They said, we're not going to do it. Jeremiah cries out to them to abandon the idolatry that got them carried away into captivity, into Babylon, and he's saying, please turn from it, and they will not do it. They said, they knew, notice what they said, the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, they are rejecting the word of God. They are not operating on the basis of the word of God. Have you ever told someone the truth, and their response is, no, I'm not interested? And you get so frustrated because your commitment is to the Word of God, and you show them the verse, and they're like, yeah, I don't believe that. And Jeremiah says, this is the Word of the Lord. You need to turn from your idol worship. And they're like, nah, we're not going to hearken to you. That's their response. Look at verse number 17. They're not going to hearken unto God, but notice who they are going to hearken unto. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Who are they going to burn incense to? The Queen of Heaven. Satan's religion worships a female deity called the Queen of Heaven. They're burning incense to her. Do you know of a religion today that burns incense to a female? Yep. They decided, Israel here decided that they're going to worship based upon their physical circumstances. They said, when we were back there worshiping the Queen of Heaven, we had plenty of victuals. We had plenty to eat. Things were good. We're going to go back to what our fathers worshipped, to what our kings worshipped. What does that tell you? Ahab brought in the Baal worship. Israel completely moved off, started worshiping Baal, started worshiping images. The problem here is that they're operating on the wrong standard. What are they basing their beliefs upon? What are they basing the standard upon? Their physical circumstances. Over in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, Paul is warning Timothy about those who are in error, who suppose that gain is godliness. What are these people doing? They're saying that back when we were worshiping this God, we had gain. They're men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, Paul says. Paul says you're to withdraw yourself from them. Now, it also says, we were well and we saw no evil. You know, I can't help but when I think of that, it should remind you of a false gospel that's being perpetuated today with the enemies of God, that if you do right and if you have good works, then you'll have health and wealth. And so they simply name it the health and wealth gospel. There's nothing new under the sun. And the same gospel that was being preached back here at this time 3,000 years ago is being preached to you today and saying that if you want to do well and if you want to have physical blessings, then you need to get right with God. And if you don't have the physical blessings, then obviously there's something wrong with your relationship with God. You need to go out and burn more incense to the Queen of Heaven or whatever it may be. This religion is teaching that your goodness and your righteousness comes from your works. What is it that Paul warns us about Satan's ministers over in Corinthians? That they're ministers of righteousness. That they're ministers of your own works, pleasing God on the basis of your own works. Jeremiah chapter 44, look back at verse number 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men. Verse number 25, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. In their worship services, they're praying and burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. They're drinking. They have drink offerings. They're making cakes. They're eating in their worship services. What is it that they're drinking? Over in Psalm 16 and verse number 4, it says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten their after another God. After another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. They're having drink offerings. The drink offerings are of blood. Do you know of a religion that has drink offerings in their worship service and they say that it's blood? If you want to turn to Judges chapter 10 real quickly, I'll read something for the sake of time. Who is the Queen of Heaven? In Judges chapter number 10 and verse number 6, it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon. There it is again. And the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon. You remember the Ammonites? Again, all of this linking together from our earlier studies. And the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. Ashtaroth, the name of this female deity. She also goes by the name Diana, Ishtar, and perhaps more popular, as you may know her, as Mary. In this book, it's referred to in Revelation as Babylon, the mother of harlots. Because what is the harlotry in Revelation talking about? Is it talking about immorality of a intimate nature? It's talking about immorality of a spiritual idolatry, worshiping something else, the mother of all harlots. There's a religion today that worships a female, calls her immaculately conceived as a god, and a co-redemptrix, being able to save you from your sin, and a co-mediator, as the Son of God is. Do you know anyone today who worships the Queen of Heaven? The Catholics say, we don't worship Mary. Our brother Mitch passed away recently. His funeral was in a church. The name of that church was Our Queen of the Martyrs. Our Queen. I mean, they don't even try to hide it. If you turn over to Revelation, you find this mother of harlots there in Revelation chapter number 17. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 6, it talks about a woman who is drunken with the blood of the saints. Do you know a religion today that has killed the martyrs? Killed the people who's killed those who were believing in the Word of God. Revelation chapter 17, verse number 18, it talks about the woman which thou sawest as this great city. I said that it starts back in Genesis at Babel. There's a great city, the issue of the city. Back in chapter 17 and verse number 2, it talks about that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this person. This fornication is spiritual idolatry. In verses 3 through 5, it talks about the woman being arrayed in purple and scarlet and having a golden cup in her hand. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, I pulled this down and I'm quoting from someone else. The issue of the golden cup. The golden cup is a central part of every Catholic Mass, where Jesus Christ suffered once for the sins of many. The Roman Catholic Church condescends to sacrificing Christ endlessly on its altars. Called transubstantiation, the Catholic Church falsely claims that its priests have the power to force Jesus Christ to be present in their Mass so that it is the literal blood of Christ contained within their golden cup. What is intended by Christ to be an act of remembrance has been perverted by the Roman Catholic Church to mean that Christ should be sacrificed again and again and again without end. Now, if I was Satan, what would I want to portray? The death of Christ, without the resurrection, without the victory, without the gospel of grace. And so you come in and again, you're just sacrificing the Lord Jesus Christ endlessly on its altars. So, you know, as I've been asking you these questions and we think about everything that we just saw on this religion that originates from Zidon, do you know a church that worships images, has priests, wears robes, calls their priests fathers, believes in penance, burns incense to the Queen of Heaven, kills the saints, worships with a golden cup containing a drink offering of blood? If only this book could be a bit more explicit. If we could just get a little bit more detail to help us out and to be able to point these things out. And my point is not to go down the whole rabbit trail and just to talk about the Catholic Church, but to point out the issue of truth. Why is it that the gospel of the grace of God is not found in the Catholic Church? Why is it that the gospel in the Catholic Church is closer to some of those gospels that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, where you have to do this, and 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 you have to do this? Because Satan's ministers are ministers of righteousness. And if they can get you to think that your acceptance with God is on the basis of your own righteousness and your own works, then they will successfully prevent men from getting saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. So what I'm saying to you is that it shouldn't surprise you that Satan, being the counterfeiter that he is, has his own religion. And that the first false religion started at Babel with rebellion and comes through. God establishes the nation of Israel to be the conduit of blessing, and Satan attacks Israel. And Israel no longer the conduit of blessing, but the conduit of a false religion, as Dan brings it in to Israel and goes into the northern tribes. Ahab was supposed to serve Jehovah God, the living God, but he's serving Baal and worshiping him with golden cups and priests. The prophets of Baal were wearing purple robes, calling them father, and killing those who are faithful to the true and living God, and wiping them out. You know, today we spend a lot of time talking about the communism and the socialism that's coming into our country and affecting our country. And rightfully so. It's anti-biblical, it's destructive, it's deadly, it's killed a countless number of people during the 20th century. But these are child's play compared to Satan's religion. I say that not lightly, understanding the countless millions that were murdered under those bad regimes. But Satan's religion has been sending millions to hell for thousands of years under a religion, telling people that they can be right with God on the basis of their works. Salvation is by grace through faith alone, in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your standing is not found by a priest, by another man, who you think that by telling them your sins or confessing to them that you might be able to have your sins forgiven. Satan has been in the business of moving God off of his place from the beginning and replacing God with an idol, with an image that is to be worshipped. And Satan has been in the image of moving you off of your position in Christ. We'll talk next week about how your salvation, how Satan has impacted it, and how he's trying to move you off of the truth, and how he perverts the gospel and moves you off of your life in Christ. And look, the point, you see, this has been going on since the beginning. This is not something new. Where's our source? Where's our standard? Where's our rock? Our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a foundation of truth, which is in his word. And I hope you can see that we can spot the adversary coming from a mile away. And when we spot it coming, we remove ourselves from it and we stand upon the truth. We learned in Galatians this morning about the foolish Galatians because they had turned away from the gospel to another which is not another. How did they turn away from the gospel? They gave their ear to it and they listened to it. And then they considered it. And then they fell away into it. You need to be rooted and grounded in the truth so that Satan's strategy doesn't come along and move you off and move you away. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truths contained in it. And we're thankful for the warnings that we find. Most of all, we're thankful for those spiritual blessings that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to have a fire within our souls, to see this other soul saved, Lord, that are not seeing this gospel, that are lost in a religion that has perverted your truth. Help us to love you more each day. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.